Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Old Testament reading of Isaiah. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in high food. In the name of Jesus. It's one heck of a deal, if it holds true, but all of us are weary of such a thing, aren't we? If it sounds too good to be true, then it is too good to be true. We all know this. We all teach our children this as well. Make sure that they are careful of that charlatan out there selling snake oil that will cure all ills, only to ride out of town under the cover of darkness. Free stuff isn't free. That's just not the way business works. And if it doesn't work with business, with shopkeepers and bakers and dairy farmers and winemakers, then it most certainly isn't going to work when the stakes are much higher and the cost is astronomical. And so, no, thank you, Mr. Isaiah. We've heard from the likes of you before. Fool me twice, shame on me. But the thing is, Isaiah has been staying pretty consistent, or better said, Yahweh has been pretty consistent when speaking through the lips of his prophet Isaiah. It wasn't that long ago, only a couple of paragraphs actually, earlier in chapter 53, that we got to hear about that amazing tale of the suffering servant. That's the one that was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, despised and dejected and crushed and chastised. All of our iniquity laid upon him, led like a lamb to the slaughter, though he opened not his mouth. Grave made to be amongst the wicked, though a single wicked thing he never did do. You know the story. You know the story quite well. It's Good Friday, but here it's told in prophetic words by a prophetic voice to people who were dying to hear how salvation could ever be won. For before this time, and let's be honest, after it too, the people of Israel were a miserable mess. They were full of idolaters. And some of them were proper idolaters too. They didn't even try to hide it. They bowed down to statues of idols and made sacrifices to gods of different names. Gods who were never going to answer them when they called. Others were more clever, of course, making false gods out of mammon and money and work and leisure and family and friends and drinking and drugging and whoring and philandering. Israel was supposed to be perfect, but she was far, far from it. This people, they were supposed to be great, fulfill everything that God demanded, but they couldn't even cross one simple thing off the list. And they were supposed to be a servant who listened to and loved God above all things, but couldn't be bothered to even put God in their top 10. I know this Israel sounds familiar to you. Sounds familiar to you because she and you, she and we, are one and the same. Isaiah's Israel just happened to be born a couple of centuries before us. Nothing more different than that. No better, no worse, no greater expectation for them, no less. She and us are closer than siblings because we're not siblings. We have the same mother only because we are the same daughter. We know what it's like to be Israel because we are Israel. The thing about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah is that when it was fulfilled on that dark and gloomy Good Friday, it actually accomplished something. For not only was the suffering servant a servant, to the utmost, serving God in full word and deed, like Israel was always supposed to, but he was also the suffering one, suffering the punishment due to the sin of the harlot the sin of the unrighteous, the sin of the pathetic and the miserable and the idolatrous Israel that you and I are all a part of. But more than that, or perhaps better said, in accordance with that, Isaiah chapter 54 comes right on the heels of chapter 53, and not just because that's the way that numbers work, but because that which is declared in 54 is a direct result of 53. Because of the first, then must necessarily come the next. And so when you open up your Bibles this evening, which I know you're all apt to do, and you read chapter 54, you'll hear what theologians call of the objective justification that comes because of the cross, because of the work of the suffering servant, because of his rejection by God. The world is justified, made righteous through Christ. Now, I said earlier that free stuff isn't free. That's a truth as old as time. There's always a cost. There is always a price. The question at the root of it all is, who is going to pay that price? Chapter 54 makes it clear that it was and is the suffering servant who paid that price. Universal atonement has been made. There isn't a single sin that a single sinner has ever sinned that wasn't paid for by the price of that blood of the suffering servant. No gold or silver in that eternal exchange, just the holy, innocent, precious blood of a lamb led to the slaughter to be sacrificed for the whole entire world. The cross, in that way, is a sign, just like Noah's rainbow up there in the sky, except where Noah's rainbow promised the promise that a flood would never again stretch out over the whole entire earth, the cross promises the promise that there isn't a single sin left uncovered, a single grave unsealed. It promises that the wrath of God has been poured out in full upon the one who became not only the sinner, but the sinner's sin. Which brings us then, of course, to our text for today. It's early morning on that very first Easter, and every Easter afterward, and every single Lord's Day in between, and the great and divine shopkeeper opens up his doors and calls out to you. Yes, he calls out to you that he's open for business. Are you thirsty? He has water. And for those of you who like something with a little bit more flavor and substance, he has wine too. Are you hungry? There's bread aplenty, enough for all of you out there in the multitude of 5,000, so much so that there's going to be 12 baskets full left over at the end of the day. And here's the best part. The price for all of this water and wine and milk and bread, it's outrageous. And this is where you have to suspend all reason and logic, because beyond all reason and logic, the price for you, for all of these wonderful gifts of your Lord, it's unbelievable. It's zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. It's all free. All of it. Each and every single morsel of bread, all of that water from the spring and milk from the udder and wine in the cellar, it's ridiculously without price. And all of it, it must go. He desires to give his stuff away, if you can believe that. And that's the crux of it all. Do you believe that? Many say that they do. But free still sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Free means that we can't be a part of paying for any of it. Free means that this salvation business has to be the worst run business in the history of the world, because there's absolutely nothing asked in return for his goods and services. No transactions are going to take place between God and you, between you and the cross, between you and your salvation. Free means that you actually have to lay aside your pride and admit that the money in your pockets, the things that you want to offer God to show God how good you are, They're as worthless as a $3 bill. He doesn't want what you have to offer. In fact, he already took the only thing from you that he ever wanted since the day of the fall when the fruit was eaten. He already has taken your sin. So put your wallets back in your pocket and get out your empty sack, because this silly shopkeeper is about to fill it to the brim with free bread and wine. I say this to you today, like I always say this to you, because if you're anything like me, you've spent the last 6 days between last Sunday and this Sunday running around town trying to purchase stuff that you think will actually satisfy you, but never will. That's why the suffering servant, he says through the words of Isaiah in our text, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? He knows what you're apt to do. He knows that you've convinced yourself once again that you've listened to the lies of the devil for the millionth time over, that free doesn't mean free, that satisfaction can only come through transaction, that you have to learn how to forgive yourself before God can forgive you, that righteousness can only come through the dealings of the law. Why else would that one sin still be haunting you? The last thing you think about when you go to bed and the first thing that grips your heart when you wake up in the morning. Why does that shame of other people's sin still weigh so heavy on you? It's because it's the law that's driving that price skyrocketing. You think that you can only have peace if vengeance is seen upon the one who hurt you. You think that you can only have comfort if that sinner in your life finally gets what's coming to him. You think that you can only be satisfied if you can bring something to the table and convince God, the God of all things free, that it would be better if he just allowed you to throw some coins his way so that you could feel better about yourself. That's not how this works, though. That's not how any of this salvation business works. Free means free. It really and truly does. And the gifts of the cross are for sale this morning at no cost. And they're all for you. Baptismal life anew, each and every single day that you wake up. Absolution spoken from unworthy lips into unworthy ears, declaring that your sins are forgiven. Right here in time and space today. Shame taken away. Guilt too. And if that weren't enough, because for sinners like us it rarely is, and your suffering servant Savior knows this, right up here at this altar, free bread and free wine that grants benefits much more eternal and salvific than their average taste would lead you to believe. Because it's not just bread, and it's not just wine up here, but it's the body that hung and the blood that shed from the cross those very long years ago that already paid the price for all of your sin. And there's another thing. As if all this free stuff wasn't good enough, your Lord has cut a covenant with you, an everlasting one, just like he did with David. That's what he says in our text for today. It's that messianic covenant of that promised suffering servant who came in the person of Christ, the one who is most assuredly for you. But it's even more than that. Verses 4 and verse 5 of our text declare to you that God has made you to be his witness to the peoples. Nations that you do not know, they're going to come running to you, to Israel, to the church. because they need to hear the very things that you just heard this morning, the things that you get to hear, the things that you need to hear next week too. They need to hear of chapter 53 and the suffering servant who received the full wrath of God for the sins that were not his. And they need to hear of chapter 54 and the objective justification that took place on Good Friday, that all sins were paid for, each and every single sin that has ever been sinned and ever will be sinned. And most importantly, they need to hear that all of this stuff, all of this forgiveness and life and salvation and eternal righteousness stuff is for them. And that it's all completely, totally, 100% free. You get to be that advertising arm for this ridiculous shopkeeper that should have gone out of business years ago because he insists on giving all of his stuff away for nothing. It's a pretty good gig. One in which the world is in desperate need of. And so, my fellow shoppers of the eternal gifts of the cross, listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you, who has no money, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Salvation is yours. Forgiveness too. The eternal righteousness of the cross covers you from head to toe, and you'll never have to pay a dime for it. In the name of Jesus.